Greetings, and welcome to Syntex Technologies March 2021 Investor Business Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Gina Zeiger, Business Operations and HR Manager. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining our business update today. We're excited for the opportunity to discuss our business progress over the last year and what we hope to achieve in the coming year. We've received several emails and questions and have woven those answers into this discussion. This is not a big news announcement call, but an opportunity for Syntex to verbally address our investors, answer questions, and provide updates. During the course of this presentation, predictions, estimates, expectations, and forward-looking statements may be made concerning the company's future results. Actual results could differ material from those projected. Please refer to the company's SEC filings, including the company's annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended 2020. Copies of these filings may be obtained by contacting the company or the SEC. And with that, I'll turn things over to Dr. Ball and David O'Brien.
Hey, thanks, Gina. This is Sunny Ball, CEO of Syntex, and the rest of the presentation will be with me and David O'Brien, just so you don't get tired of one voice. We at Syntex are now a 25-year-old company that started as a surgeon-scientist collaboration in Salt Lake City with the initial intent to make a hip implant and then ultimately had an FDA spinal implant. That's what we were, a spinal implant company, up until 2 years ago when we made the tough decision to sell the spine business and focus on our core competencies. And those came about from an intense focus on R&D that showed us that the material was much more than just a spinal implant. Of relevance, it's an industrial material that's used widely, and we saw markets well beyond the biomedical market. This was a tough decision. It required a lot of faith from our employees and investors, and we became Syntex. We used to be a Medica. The last year changed things even more and pretty much validated our decision. As you know, the world changed with COVID-19, and we had invested heavily in R&D, and one of the things on our R&D shelf was a small study showing that our silicon nitride inactivated several species of single-stranded RNA viruses, very similar to SARS-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. Hopeful but cautious, we then investigated thoroughly whether or not our silicon nitride could inactivate the virus responsible for COVID-19. That's what we did last year. And indeed, encouragingly, very consistently, in trial after trial, our material inactivated the SARS-2 virus. This opened up a whole new line of business for us in the what I call anti-pathogenic market, or the antiviral market. And these products include masks, cell phones, tablet cases, coatings, surgical gowns, drapes. The possibilities are nearly endless. But having said that, they're not easy or quick because no other company has ever embedded silicon nitride ceramic particles into a fabric or even composites. We had already worked on the composites, so we were ready. This is brand new, uncharted territory, and our R&D team, I'm very proud of, sprang into action and has come a long ways.
And good afternoon, everybody. This is Dave O'Brien, Chief Operating Officer with Syntex. I'll continue on from there. Syntex is making real progress with a concentrated effort on specific objectives. Our business development leaders, Don and Michael, are building revenue-generating opportunities in three business segments: antipathogenic, industrial, and biomedical. We continue to connect with new customers, partners, and manufacturers to help realize our goal of leveraging our expertise in high-tech ceramics and to create new innovative opportunities across these sectors. And we continue to invest in research and development, an area in which our initiatives are prioritized to focus on generating revenue through the development of safe and effective products and applications.
Very well. In 2021, that's this year, we expect that Syntex will continue to expand and grow into new areas. If you follow us, you already know names such as O2 Today and Iwatani. In addition to those names, we are in various stages of discussion with a number of companies in diverse markets such as body armor for ballistics, dental, high-end automotive, paint, arthroplasty, which is joint replacement, and wound dressings. The year 2020 represented Syntex's second full year as an advanced ceramics company beyond just a spinal company. And obviously, the year presented many challenges due to COVID-19. Thankfully, we were able to minimize the implications of the pandemic on our business operations. We kept going, avoided layoffs. We invested in our employee safety. Thankfully, everyone was safe. We implemented effective work from home policies. Obviously, we suspended all travel, but we kept in touch with the companies that we work with. We continued to advance the company's interests. We also had a rapid and major change in our strategy as of 2020, given the discovery that our silicon nitride consistently and very quickly inactivates the SARS-2 virus. This discovery was directly a result of our significant investment in R&D over the past several years. We had previously shown in an unrelated study that our material inactivated a number of viruses, single-stranded viruses, much like SARS-2, including the influenza A or the common flu virus. From these discoveries, which have since been published, we leveraged new partnerships in testing and developing anti-pathogenic applications, such as face masks with O2 Today, IT devices with Iwatani. Now, one question comes with this dramatic discovery: why a small company like O2? Why not talk to a bigger company that's better known? There are a number of reasons. One, in the pandemic, the big businesses essentially shut down. They didn't even communicate. These are risk-averse companies that look to smaller companies like us to develop an idea and de-risk it, so to speak, and then buy that technology. In contrast, O2 Today is a small, nimble company that was already a believer in masks before COVID-19, that was already targeting an increasing population and pollution in the world, particularly in Asian markets. They were passionate about their technology. They had experience in retail. They were able to take the concept of a mask and make it sexy and desirable. No large company had done that. And moreover, they had deep roots in the Asian markets, including China. For those reasons, it seemed like the most exciting opportunity for us. Now, beyond O2 Today, we're exploring other applications like automotive, HVAC filters, wound dressings, clothing, and much more. Thankfully, we were able to maintain our listing on NASDAQ in good standing without having to do a reverse split that was sometimes necessary in previous years, and we are proud to have avoided it. Our revenues last year were understandably down, as with any medical device-reliant company. We sell to CTLA Medica, and elective spine surgeries were essentially stopped when the pandemic was in full swing. The good news is those surgeries are coming back. There's pent-up demand. We expect those revenues to increase this year. The more significant event in 2020 was the sale, albeit small, of the first non-medical products in Syntex's history, and I am very proud of that. David?
I want to address a couple of questions that have been submitted for this call. The first concerns the ATM we put in place earlier this year. We put this ATM in place to give us the flexibility we might need to quickly access additional capital. As we stated earlier, we are aggressively pursuing new sources of revenue. These activities take resources, people, equipment, and external collaborations. In addition, we are looking for strategic partnerships in order to grow our business. Having an ATM in place gives us the ability to quickly access capital if the need arises and market conditions are favorable. We have not yet utilized the ATM. The second question concerns the bonus plan. Like most companies, we have a bonus plan for all employees, from technicians to officers. There are multiple components of this plan. It includes revenue objectives, operational objectives such as yields and on-time delivery, and individual objectives. Payout can combine cash and stock options. Our plan is modest compared to many other companies. We have a very dedicated and hardworking team, and we reward them when they earn it. Dr. Ball?
Yeah, thanks, David. And I'll just reiterate, we have a very skilled staff. We invest in them. The knowledge that's created in this company is one of a kind. We lead the world in it. We value our employees, and the incentive and bonuses are very, very well earned and very modest compared to other companies. Let me switch over to the anti-pathogenic business update, which is the antimicrobial. That market has existed for many years. Well, let me correct that. That market has existed for many centuries, starting with the Egyptians and their use of bronze and copper that was well recognized as an antimicrobial touch surface. Now with COVID-19, the modern world's attention is refocused on infections, and I anticipate this will only continue even after the virus is gone. One interesting thing about our material is if you look at the competing materials such as silver, copper, zinc, heavy metals that are placed into wound dressings or contact surfaces, so on and so forth, they are all toxic to mammalian cells in ionic or particulate form. Silicon nitride, to our knowledge so far, is the only one in particulate form which, when tested against mammalian cells, has no toxicity. And we have done this testing over and over again with the same encouraging results. We see silicon nitride as a replacement to the current applications that consist or that rely on heavy metals. We will continue to prioritize this business, and we did in 2020, including workforce expansion, acquisition of prototype manufacturing, and supporting lab equipment, some of which is being installed as we speak, and development of relationships with reputable U.S. laboratories and development of test protocols to assess the antipathogenic properties of new products that contain silicon nitride. This is important. This is our credibility. This is vital because when you make a claim, as we did, it needs to undergo repeated testing in order to validate it. So far, we've performed multiple levels of independent rigorous testing and repeated it with labs including George Mason University, Virginia Tech, most recently University of Rochester, independent companies such as IMQuest Biosciences. And as you know, we continue to subject our data to independent rigorous peer review, and when approved, it appears in the peer literature. David?
We have successfully developed a new fabric technology by bonding silicon nitride particles consistently and evenly into the fibers of non-woven fabric layers. This composite fabric begins to reduce viral loads immediately and by as much as 99.9% after 1 minute of exposure. This is a significant achievement for our company. We have spent 23 years developing monolithic silicon nitride discrete components, but this is the first time we've embedded silicon nitride into fabrics. To our knowledge, nobody else has done this either, and it's exciting to be breaking new ground. We've been learning about different ways to put powders into fabrics and assess their performance against pathogens. We expect this antipathogenic fabric technology to be used in applications, as you've heard earlier, such as a catch-and-kill face mask, surgical gowns, drapes, automotive and HVAC filters, wound dressings, etc. We have discussions and/or active collaboration going across all of the applications I just mentioned. Across all of these opportunities, the ones that I've mentioned, as well as ones like Iwatani, Syntex's role is to develop the appropriate silicon nitride powder for that application. In addition, we can supply technical resources to support the integration of our silicon nitride into the desired product and to assist in the testing of the product. And then the primary responsibility shifts to the product manufacturer to create the final product that will go into worldwide markets. We are the silicon nitride experts, while our partners are the product experts.
Great. To expand on what David just said, let's focus on our partnership with O2 today. That relationship continues to progress. We signed a commercialization agreement in February, and that includes a technology license agreement for 2 years with the option for extension. The agreement has a license fee, a commercial agreement on silicon nitride sales, royalties based on product sales of masks and filters, and a commercial supply agreement for the silicon nitride powder that we manufacture. Right now, efficacy, safety, standards testing are underway as O2 today continues to work out a process for development and manufacturing, specifically to scale up. We have integrated, as David said, silicon nitride into the fibers. That part's done and verified under electron microscopy. We simply need to dial it up. O2 today hopes to have a date of availability for their silicon nitride mask soon, but it doesn't have an anticipated date of release yet. This is a work in progress, and the partnership is in the scale-up phase. We are working earnestly with them on that process and finding the best ways for commercial high-speed production. You can certainly sign up for the newsletter for updates. David mentioned a catch and kill mask. That term comes from copper research in terms of catching microbes onto the surface of copper and then creating a self-sterilizing surface. So we didn't come up with that term. But the catch and kill face mask that inactivates viral diseases will be needed long after the COVID-19 pandemic. And again, there's outside interest in this. If you look at Wall Street Journal on March the 27th, they have an article on high-tech face masks. And it's the first one I've seen that mentions antiviral properties of masks. They had some technologies which the Wall Street had access to, one of them being from Harvard. That's a half-a-pound mask you hang on your face with a 9-volt battery that heats up some carbon fibers, apparently. Another idea was a ultraviolet light source that you wear around your fanny pack, and the mask air circulates through the fanny pack. Now, in comparison to those desirable, commendable, potentially effective technologies that sound very cumbersome, ours is just a mask. The silicon nitride at the microscopic level is the catch and kill. It doesn't need a battery. It does not need a fanny pack. It's a mask, and it doesn't weigh half a pound. Even before COVID-19, the mask market was anticipated to reach $7 billion by 2027. That's a Grandview Research article or report. We're seeing concerns worldwide about new variants, and we don't know what the future looks like. We don't know what the flu season this year looks like. We never relied on just COVID-19 for our mask technology. We shared our concern with O2 today that a rising global population, rising levels of pollution, particularly in high-density cities, will create a permanent and increasing need for effective facial protection and lung and oral hygiene. Now, in Asian countries particularly, there are earlier pandemics such as the bird flu that just never came across to the U.S. until COVID-19. To summarize, we see the mask market as being important, and as the article I referenced states, others are recognizing this need well beyond the COVID-19 pandemic. David?
We continue to collaborate with Iwatani to develop IT cases which would incorporate our silicon nitride into them. We're in a product development stage in which Iwatani is developing methods to integrate our material into their polymer products. We're supporting them in this product development process. the manufacturing process itself, as well as developing protocols to assess the antipathogenic properties of the composite. To our knowledge, again, what we're developing with Iwatani is a material that has never been produced before. And this is an exciting challenge, but it means that we're at the forefront of developing something completely new, and that will take some time. As with masks, this antipathogenic technology isn't viewed as only related to COVID-19. It will serve a purpose in the global marketplace post-pandemic. We have many other companies we're in discussions with and who are testing our material, and we hope to announce specifics later this year. Because of the current early phase of discussion or the non-disclosure agreements on file, all we can say is that these companies are in automotive, paints and coatings, and filter industries, and we continue to uncover new opportunities. Antipathogenic opportunities extend beyond antibacterial and antiviral, and we believe that the recent antifungal publication demonstrates that. We are taking foundational steps to allow our participation in the agriculture markets, but these are longer-term opportunities. Dr. Ball?
Yeah, thanks, David. And that's a good point, the agriculture markets, where our material is biocompatible and safe for the environment. The other things we mentioned, some of the synthetic fertilizers and pesticides and the heavy metals, there's increasing concern about how to discard them and what they do to the soil. But enough of that, let's go to the industrial business update. We continue to identify opportunities and uses for industrial applications where the strength, toughness, and wear resistance of silicon nitride are important. We hired Don Bray, our VP for Business Development, specifically on the industrial side, and we have had a lot of success on relationships with customers in the aerospace, automotive, body armor, cutting tool, energy, and transportation industries. So in 2020, because of COVID-19, the high volume opportunities were put on pause necessarily. But the good news is they have all come back and they have resumed, and we are in active discussions with many companies across a variety of industries. We shipped our first non-medical orders in the company's history, which was a huge milestone, even though there's limited revenue associated with it. These were low-volume prototype orders, other companies kicking our tires, but these are necessary steps in the process of getting new business. We became AS9100D certified, which enables Syntex to supply components directly to industries in the aerospace and defense markets. What that means is the certification means that we meet the highly stringent standards of these industries. We are listed in the OASIS database that's used by aerospace suppliers and the United States military. David?
In early 2020, we began an organized mergers and acquisitions effort focused on the industrial ceramic space. We had to pause this last spring, but it is now underway again. We are looking for opportunities to diversify the line of materials we offer and industries we participate in and to bolt on revenue.
Perfect. Let me move on to the biomedical opportunities, and at the outset, this is where our company leads. This is where we are strongest, and we claim that we have the near perfect, the near ideal material for biomedical applications. A few days ago, there's an article by Robert Hyman, a German scientist, and I refer you to it. If you Google Robert and then Hyman, H-E-I-M-A-N-N, and then silicon and then nitrite, those four words, you'll see the article. It's on a preprint server pending peer review, and the title pretty much replicates what we've been saying, which is silicon nitrite is the ideal biomaterial. Keep in mind, we don't know who Robert Hyman is. He has no association with our company. In addition to that, there have been a number of very high-quality papers targeting biomedical applications of silicon nitride from reputable Chinese universities. So others are taking notice. We are unique in that we lead in the R&D well beyond the articles that I've just mentioned in the biomedical space. We also have a foundational successful track record of over 35,000 spinal implantations over a 13-year period, and we have published clinical data both in cervical and lumbar fusion. We have leadership in the manufacturing science, knowledge, know-how, mechanisms of silicon nitride, and there are significant opportunities well beyond spine in this space. For example, we submitted a master file to the FDA for silicon nitride PEEK. Applications for this material include any place a fusion device is needed, spine, foot and ankle, etc. We have an order for this material, and we'll see revenue from it in the second half of 2021. We have active research projects underway for other composites of silicon nitride and polymers. David?
And we continue to work on new materials and new manufacturing technologies that could broaden the use of silicon nitride in biomedical applications. We have acquired capital equipment for our R&D team to speed up developments in new materials and new manufacturing technologies. Some of that is being installed today. We are making progress on developing silicon nitride coatings via multiple techniques. This is something we worked on for a number of years and recently have received some very positive results on that. And the applications include dental, spine, and arthroplasty. We also have spoken in the past and published a paper on our 3D printing efforts. We continue to work in that area, and we've moved beyond 3D printing of monolithic ceramics and into other forms of silicon nitride. Dr. Ball?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, David. The 3D printing and coating were, if you look at other authors in this space, were considered to be impossibilities, technical impossibilities. And all I can say is keep your eyes on us. We have made significant progress in those difficult technical areas, given our knowledge. Specific to spine, we're working on product development engineers at CTLA America. We have been for several years, and we expect the results to be several new spinal implants in 2021 based on our successful collaborations and relationship with that company. And we are hopeful to see an uptick in revenue from CTL in 2021, and that company did very well, all things considered, in a very challenging retail spinal market last year. We received a new U.S. patent for antibacterial applications of our silicon nitride. We added that to our portfolio. That covers a variety of biomedical implants, and our technology improves the antibacterial characteristics of the implants. That's a big claim, and that's a big technology. Bacterial infections are the number one problem in orthopedic and other implants worldwide, and throwing antibiotics at microbes is yesterday's strategy, given the increasing resistance of bacteria, and many researchers are sounding the alarm on that. To have a material that intrinsically repels bacteria, has no known resistance from any bacteria, is broadly applicable to a variety of bacteria is truly wonderful, and we are blessed to have this material to work with. Our antibacterial applications should be commercialized in 2021 through the launch of our silicon nitride PEEK composite technology that has come to fruition. We have talked about the dental markets before. This one market took a knock to the teeth, so to speak, and was the most significantly impacted by COVID-19. They essentially shut down. But again, this has been resuscitated in the first quarter of this year, and we're working with a number of partners and have renewed contacts. We have re-engaged a number of partners looking at monolithic dental implants and coatings. Very important. There's a lot of interest in coatings from a lot of biomedical space. Our dental partners have expressed significant interest in these technologies, and we continue to work with them toward commercialization opportunities. With respect to coatings, again, specifically, we have met some key development milestones that will move existing partnerships forward. This was a very difficult technology that we have worked with for many years, and we are very proud of the progress that should bring encouraging announcements in the future. In terms of new markets, we hired a VP of business development specifically for the biomedical space, and we are looking at foot and ankle, or the extremities fusion devices. That's a big and growing market, as well as antibacterial wound care products, another big market. And we are attending conferences with invited presentations this spring in both those industries. So I'd like to close. I appreciate your patience and listening and your confidence and trust in our company. Let me reiterate my excitement. This is the best the company has been. We have a lot of balls up in the air, a lot of opportunities. We don't have a single point of failure. Over and over again, our material has proven out. We are our own best skeptics. We don't believe results unless we reproduce them repeatedly at more than one institution. And now, encouragingly, others are reproducing what we have already published. This is a function not only of the wonderful material we have, but the incredible team of scientists and workers that we have in Salt Lake City. So 2020, while it was a difficult year globally with many tragedies, we weathered the pandemic and came out ahead of it. Thank you for your attention, and I'll turn to Gina.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Ball, and thank you, David O'Brien. And thanks to everybody who participated in today's call. It'll be available on the Syntex website shortly and will be posted for the next 30 days. We wish you good health to you and your families, and have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and have a wonderful day.